I want you all to welcome Winnie Abramson.
Thank you so much, Melissa. It's great to be here.
I love your book. You know I'm a big fan. I bought it for all my girlfriends for the holidays.
Aw, thank you.
They all said that it was such a nice thing to get because sometimes we need the reminders and we need that idea. So it's today in the pledge we're talking about the idea of small and the idea of how just the tiniest change in our behavior and our habit could make such a big difference. And your book has 50 of them, right?
Right.
There's 50 chapters, but within each chapter there's
also a lot of different suggestions in each chapter. So I'd say there's a lot more than 50 suggestions in the book.
Suggestions. When did you start thinking about making simple changes? When did that start happening in your life?
I think it's been happening for a lot of years, but I didn't necessarily recognize it as such. I sort of took a look back at where I used to be and where I am today, and I realized that the way that it happened was because I made a lot of small changes instead of, like, you know, a sweeping, huge lifestyle overhaul. So I think that's how I realized what was happening. I sort of just looked back and realized where I am today and thought, wow, that happened because I've made a lot of small changes.
What were some of the first changes you made? Like, what was the big things that you started to notice that made huge difference?
Well, I think if you read the book, in the introduction, I talk about how when I was a teenager, I had a very disordered way of eating. I did a lot of diets, and I thought what I was doing was healthy. That was the irony of it. I thought what I was doing was healthy. I was eating not very much food. I thought I should be on a diet because everyone was on a diet, but I took it to extremes, and I did it for too long, and I would over-exercise, and I just had a lot of habits that were not conducive to health. So once I straightened all that out with, you know, it took a long time, actually, but what I really did was I started focusing on nourishing myself instead of dieting. So I completely changed the way I eat, the way I ate, and that was over a long period of time that I was researching different diet stuff and refining the way I eat. That happened over years.
And I know that one of the things that happened for you that was really a transformative, you know, period of your life was going to a holistic doctor and like looking at the way that we treat our bodies, you know, away from the medical profession of there's a pill for it, right? And then going into the holistic side of we are so powerful I sometimes call it the suggestive tissue of what we're telling our bodies, right? And we have kind of the opposite experience. I grew up, and when I was in my teens, I ate everything. I mean, I overate. So I had the opposite, the kind of disorder, right, where I was just binging all the time, and food was just something that was just, it had to be hot, it had to be salty and lots of fat. I mean, I literally at one point think if I could have eaten a stick of butter, I would have. And because I was so addicted to you know, the salt and the fat. But it's really interesting because it did take me a long time to change habits and to build a better, you know, for me, it was a better family food culture. It was making little changes, and I continue to make little changes that are so, so important. Creating habits, I think, for me, is what leads me to any goal or any success, because without it, it's really difficult. And I know in your book, one of the things that struck me and that I'm telling everybody about is the drinking water.
Yep.
That it's the first thing that goes into your body. And why is that so important? I mean, I've read it, but I mean, that just stood out to me so much because it's like water, of course, we all know we're supposed to be drinking water, but why don't we do that?
Well, there are a couple of reasons why I talk about there's a couple reasons why I talk about drinking water first thing. I mean, for you know, there are studies that show it raises your metabolism, but you know, beyond that, I think a lot of people have this have a different sort of habit, which is they get up and they drink coffee first thing, or they have nothing, and I sort of just like the idea of it setting a positive tone for the day. You're doing something good for yourself. There are some other reasons, like some people do better not drinking a lot of water with their meals. So I suggest that people maybe get in the habit of having water away from their meals. That's another reason. Just to help with digestion.
But how for me, it's just that one simple change, right, of just having a glass of water. There's something so simple about it. And there's no reason it doesn't. It's not a painful workout. It's not having to, like, not have, a piece of cake or getting up super early. It just is waking up, and the first thing that you put in your body is a glass of water. And everybody can do that. Everybody can do that.
And a lot of people, you're not the first person who said that that's what, you know, stuck out to them as, like, well, this is where I'm going to start because it's so easy.
And I'm going to admit something right now. I'm a really bad water drinker, and it is one of my pledges for 2014. I used to be the type of person that drank 64 ounces of water a week. Not a day.
That's not very much water. Yeah, you know, those water recommendations, not everyone, I say in the book too, you know, not everyone needs to have 64 ounces of water a day. There are ways you can gauge whether you're getting enough. But a lot of people, you know, just aren't in the habit of drinking much water at all. Some people just completely forget. They don't do it at all. So doing it in the morning, I think it does make you aware, like, okay, so now I had some. And I think it can just set the course for being mindful about it throughout the day.
And for me, I feel like it's a win. So when I have my mind on something and I say, okay, I'm going to do that, it's a win for me. So if I drink it this morning, then I feel good about it. And then tomorrow morning I drink it. And then that's what makes the habit. It's continuing to do something because it feels good. It doesn't feel like some huge change. You're not saying, you know, you have to get up and drink eight ounce glasses of water before you do anything. You know, it's very, very simple. And I like that about it. I gave up trying to reduce my sugar. So I said, okay, Saturday, it's a weekend day. I'm not going to wait till Monday. Because doesn't everybody wait till Monday to start something? Everyone's like, okay, I'm going to start that on Monday. And my mother-in-law is the best. She says, it's always the right moment to, like, your next meal. It's always the right moment. She's never waits till Monday to do anything. So I gave up sugar. I said, I'm not going to have any, sugar today. So usually I put a little on my coffee, and I, have a cookie with my kids at the end of the whatever. And it was a little difficult on Saturday because it's a weekend. But I did it that one day, and then on Sunday I woke up, and I was like, oh, well, I did it one day. And then I did it Sunday. And today I woke up, and it was just like, yeah, I'm going to do that again today. I'm not going to have any sugar. So it's kind of like building a habit. I don't need to have it in my coffee. It's not something that, the bad habits are so hard to break, but once you do, they're really, really, it's really powerful. What's your best habit?
Well, I was just going to say two things. First of all, for most people, the first thing, the hardest part is just starting. It's just making the one small step that's going to get you to change. I think a lot of people just come up with, a million different excuses, a million different reasons why they don't want to do it. But once you get started, like you said, it's just a matter of, taking, you have to expend some effort there isn't going to be any habit change. You have to expend some effort. But at the same time, I think – well, can I talk about sugar a little bit?
Yeah.
Is it okay about sugar a little bit? Okay, so I actually like talking about sugar. But so this is something that's interesting. I don't want to dissuade you from cutting out sugar. But I have sort of come to this new conclusion about sugar in more recent months since I wrote the book. It changed my opinion on a little because I think I do say in the book that, everyone should avoid it. So can I give you my current perspective?
Yes.
Okay. So I think a lot of us get really very hung up on this concept that sugar is really bad and we beat ourselves up for eating it. But it doesn't mean something's wrong with you or that, you know, if I think a lot of us get stuck on this, like, I'm addicted to sugar thing. I think you use those words, right?
I am, yeah. I mean, okay. Addicted to sugar and yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'm without knowing more about, like, actually how much sugar you eat during the day, I think some people just give themselves too hard a time about this one thing and that, you know, it's okay. Like, I just want to say, like, I'm getting to this point in my own life where I'm more a fan of this, trying to figure out, like, okay, like, what is moderation when it comes to something like sugar? Because it's so enjoyable. And I really have to say that I don't think it's harmful as long as you're not eating tons and tons of it. I think that the media has kind of convinced us it's horrible. We're all killing ourselves if we eat sugar. And it just, you know, I've looked at the science. I've just done tons of reading on this in the last year. And I'm just sort of came to this conclusion that I think that fixating on it isn't necessarily helpful. I'm not saying that you shouldn't decrease the amount you eat at all, because I do think a lot of people need to cut back. I'm just saying, like, I think there's this stigma attached to eating it, and when you take that stigma away, when you tell yourself, well, it's not so bad, it's not, you know, try not to look at foods, like, as bad or good and sugar as bad, and if you just look at it as, like, another food, so you eat more of the health-promoting stuff, you eat less of the other stuff, and once you sort of remove that stigma, sometimes what people think is, like, my sugar addiction, it just, like, goes away, because it just takes away that thing where you want it more because it's bad for you. Does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And I think that is such a good point that you bring up, that it doesn't have to be the shame of sugar. And it doesn't have to be. And that's why I said I'm not giving up sugar completely, but I just wanted to remove it, to just kind of test my resolve in the way that, do I really need to put it in my coffee every morning? I mean, is
exactly.
that like a,
I mean, that's, right.
a
that's
not
a perfect a example. A lot
conscious
of people,
way.
Like, they, right. And I would say, you know, if that cookie at the end of the day with your kids, though, that sounds like bonding time, and that sounds like a positive thing that I wouldn't necessarily give up.
No, not at all. It's just, you know, it's really interesting. My husband and I, like, he's a really healthy eater. And for the most part, I think very long and hard about what goes into my body. But not in a fanatical way, but it's really interesting. November and December, the kids will go to bed and he'll look at me and he'll be like, what are you baking tonight?
I think that
so
happens
more
to a lot of people.
Kind of like the over excessive. It's the excess of, like, coming off the holidays. Like, I really don't need to have, you know, I was at a girlfriend's house on Saturday night. She had birthday cake. And I just really was like, you know what? I really don't want any cake. Like, I don't. So I just didn't pick up a piece and eat it without thinking about
that,
it. I really kind
you know
of
what,
checked
then,
in
yeah.
and said, I really don't
That's
need
different.
That. I don't want that piece of cake. And so I just think it's about making those little things. But it's that way with all of the habits, right? It is so in my psyche, in my line of thinking, that especially with the Fresh 20 and what I do, that I never want to shame anybody into eating. And I have this debate with Trent, my husband, all the time, because in the marketing messages, we might say, you know, that we want to reduce the amount of processed food. And Trent's like, don't say reduce, say eliminate. You want to eliminate processed food. And I always say, but Trent, that's not a reality. Like, I want to reduce it. I want people to take a look at it. But, like, to eliminate something is so, like, it's just so fanatical. And I think
I completely agree with you. And I wrestled with that a lot, too. I wrestled with that a lot, too, when I was writing the book and after I wrote the book, because I never want to send people the message that they're doing something wrong. And I also don't like the potential message that comes from saying, you know, I think that there's a lot of, like, hyperbole in the media about food, and I think some people do take away the message, like, I'm harming myself or my family if I allow them to eat, let's say, processed foods, you know.
Right.
And I think that in the context of, and I'm sure you agree, in the context of a diet that has a lot of health-promoting food in it, that a small amount of processed food isn't harmful. Like, it's okay.
Right.
I think it just has to be, you know, so I'm not really a black and white person. I think in times in my life, I have been more about extremes and more, things were more black and white to me, and now I just don't see things that way anymore. Just see it as, like, you know, you have all the foods that you eat, you know, over the course of a day or over the course of a week, and if you ate fast food for one meal, it's not going to kill you.
Right,
meal a week or one meal a month. And, you know, there are reasons, there are different reasons why people choose to eat in different places. And like you say, I would never want to shame someone for, you know, a choice that maybe isn't ideal, but it's just the best you can do.
And that's what I tell my kids about eating, and I don't want it ever to be fanatical or any of their habits. And, you know, sometimes good has to be good enough. And
yeah,
one
exactly.
of the things
don't
that I
let
love,
perfect be the enemy. What is it? The phrase,
yeah,
don't let perfect
oh,
be the enemy of the good.
That's so true. And I love that about the book, about One Simple Change, is that it's really just this moderate journey through all of these different ideas. That is really encouraging. Like, I love the way you wrote it, because you really wrote it from a sense of trying to, or at least I think you did, to encourage someone to make some of these changes and letting,
absolutely,
instead of it being
absolutely,
like, you have to do this.
I'm really mindful. I'm very mindful of the words that I use always, because, yeah, I always look at how someone else might take what I say. And I never want to offend anyone, shame them, make them feel bad for where they're at. I always just want to, you know, give reasons for why they might want to do things differently, but that doesn't, you know, my way isn't the only way. And so, yeah, I am really mindful of the way I talk or write, so I'm glad that you picked that up.
Yeah, I did. And I think, and that's why I wanted to talk to you and have you and this book kind of kick off this 20-day. So for the next 20 days, we're kind of talking about a different aspect, kind of like how you've got your 50 chapters, right? So we have these 50
right.
ideas about how we can pledge to quietly, with ease and grace, make 2014 like a really great year for ourselves. And one of the things that is so important, and that, you know, I've gotten over like 2,000 pledge, like individual,
wow,
like mini pledges that people have like sent, emailed me to pledge what they're, and they range in so many amazing, like I was in tears on Friday night.
Wow.
So many amazing things. But one of the, in chapter 8 of your book, the thing is let it go.
Yes.
And I think that kind of is an overarching theme for the entire 20-day pledge, is that we have to let go of this idea of perfect, of perfectionism, of that we're always wrong, that we're never giving ourselves enough credit for what we're doing. And for me, sometimes I get up and I put on my workout clothes and I walk into the kitchen and I have every intention of working out, and then I get distracted, and so I go outside and then I never make it to the gym, or I never go. And I started having this conversation with myself, like, I'm such a creep, like, why do I do this? And I started to say, you know what, sometimes it's just enough that I got up, you know, got up, fed my kids,
with the intention,
got dressed, with the intention. And if I just keep doing that, you know, things will start to move, instead of saying that I'm, and like we're talking about shaming ourselves or making ourselves feel bad, or, and so many of the pledges that we've been reading through are just about that, about the idea that, you know, and I'm even getting teary-eyed as I think about it, because it just breaks my heart that I got so many that said, I'm going to be kinder to myself this year. And part of that, to me, speaks to let it go.
Absolutely. I think, well, women in particular are just so hard on themselves. We just beat ourselves up for, like, everything. And
yeah.
I used to do that a lot. And it's just, you know, you beat yourself up enough, it beats you down, you doubt yourself, you lose your confidence, and so many women are just doing so many amazing things, and yet they give themselves a hard time about, yeah, like you, for example, you know, doing amazing things, and I know that it just, it's like, I don't know, I think it's just really important to be, yeah, kinder to yourself, to forgive yourself more, be flexible, and know that you're going to have setbacks as you try and make changes or, you know, whatever it is, and that's okay. That's all so okay. It's just part of being human, and you know, like your mother-in-law or your mom, I can't point it out, you know, you don't have to wait till Monday for things to be different. It can be different later on today just because something didn't go right earlier in the day. It's like, just, I think everyone is so accustomed to just beating themselves up about it, and then you ruin your day over the smallest thing, you know, but whereas it's really, you can just forgive yourself and move on. It's so much easier.
It's so much easier, and I don't know, I really am trying to learn this lesson this year from my husband, because he's so good at it. Like, he never sits around and contemplates about, whether or not he's bad or whether he's good. Yeah.
I think it's much more common in women. I don't want to say that no men are hard on themselves, because they are, but I think with respect to certain things, it's women are way, way harder on themselves than men.
Yeah. So I love that concept, and I'm carrying that with me this year. It's one of my main pledges of trying to just let it go and not expect every, because I am a perfectionist. I want it to be right.
I know you are.
And it's really, really, really hard. Being an author helps to humble you in that regard, because, you know, I think sometimes when we write online or we do something, we can go back, we can fix it, we can revise it. When you put that stuff in print and it's in a book and somebody has it and it can't be changed, for somebody like me, that was a horrifying process. Really.
I completely relate to that.
It was hard. So I think being an author definitely kind of a little bit cures you of that, because there's no turning back.
Yeah. Because I spoke to myself. There was like a couple little things in the book that I thought about changing once the book was out. And I said to my publisher, editor, I said, oh, you know, is this a big deal? And she said, yeah, it's actually a very big deal. We really can't change it. And that really I had to let go at that point. I had to say, okay, well, this doesn't say, you know, this isn't, I wrote this part of the book a year and a half ago, and right now I might write it a little bit differently, but that's okay. It doesn't, it reflects where I was at, and people are still going to get something out of the way I wrote it, so it's okay. I can move on, and I have the opportunity to write about this again. I can write about it differently then.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing. It really, really is. So what do you think? So what are your top, let's put top three things that you're thinking about? What are your main pledges for 2014? Since you're the expert on so many things, I want to know what you've got going on for
you
decluttering your mental space.
I think a lot of people are always surprised that my top three things are like basic, really super basic. Because it's the most basic things that I somehow, I don't want to use the word struggle, but I still have issues with the sleep. Like, that is a really big deal in the book, getting enough sleep, sleeping 8 hours, going to bed earlier. I have always been, you know, I guess you call it a night owl, and I've been working on this for years, but I would say just really recently am I really making strides to go to bed every night at 10 o'clock in the morning, like 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, and sleep 8 hours. Like, I have this tendency to want to stay up after my kids go to bed and get work done, and then before you know it, it's midnight, and then I have to get them up for school at 6:30. It's not enough sleep for me. So I'm working really hard on that.
So what are some of the things you're doing for that? How do you get more sleep?
I get in bed earlier. I turn off the computer. I get in bed earlier, and I just go to bed. I mean, for me, it's just a matter of, like, just do it. I have to just do it instead of finding all the different ways, things that I have to do at 11 o'clock at night, like all the things that come into my head that would be good to do then. I just tell myself, you know, I can do that tomorrow. I don't have to do it now. Because once I get started at night, like, oh, I can do this, and then I'll do, you know, then it just gets later and later. So
I was
just
I have the same problem. Yeah,
I totally do. I mean, Like, most people do not get enough sleep. So that is super important. I'm working on that. What else? I'm working really hard on the mindfulness piece and just, like, not doing more than one thing at a time, staying focused on certain tasks. I'm trying to stay off Facebook because it distracts me. It keeps me from being mindful, like, when I'm trying to write. So that's another thing I'm working on. And then just, it's not so much a new thing, but I just try and stay really consistent with my exercise program. So last year I had a lot of success just, like, with weight training 4 days a week. So I just want to continue doing that. It works really well for me.
That's
it helps me manage my stress and helps me feel good. So I want to keep doing that.
That's amazing. I first of all, I encourage everybody, and we're giving away a package on the blog today of One Simple Change, Winnie's book,
yay,
which is incredible, and then with the Fresh 20 cookbook and a beautiful, like, journal. Because
I love that.
I think it's like a good kind of thematic package of books. And I encourage everybody to read this book, pick the things that you like. It's really kind of going to be a great extension of everything that we're talking about in the next 20 days of the pledge, and just to take it really slow and, you know, not make it something that we're berating ourselves for, because, listen, I think we're all doing pretty great. I mean, when you think about it and you look around at your friends and your family and your community and peers, I think that, you know, everyone has their struggles, but we're getting it done, you know, and we're trying to put the best foot forward that we
exactly.
can of ourselves every
exactly.
single day. And that in itself is an accomplishment. So, Winnie, I am really, really honored and really, really thankful that you, you know, agreed to talk with me today and to be the first guest on our pledge. I really believe in what you're doing. And even before the book, I've always just been a really big fan, because you're just one of those
likewise.
People you can talk to in a hallway and you walk away and you feel better. And you're like, wait, what just happened?
I appreciate
Winnie
you saying
just
that.
So enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for,
so much, Melissa.
It was
great to talk to you.
All right.
Talk
kindness to ourselves. Bye.
Yes.
Bye, Winnie.
Bye.